It's an album and then some.
That's right.
Yeah.
We've made it into an album because you can't sell just three songs these days.
Now, let me ask you, was this version made for radio, was this made recently or was this made back in the day, back in 1981?
It was made recently.
Because, as I remember it, the song was aired on radio with lyrics intact.
In 84, you know, when the Mood Swing album came out and, you know, what's called the more popular version of 88 Line.
Sure.
There was a version that, you know, the then label RCA made for radio. You know, I honestly don't remember if it always got played intact, but I'm sure a fair amount of time it did.
Yeah. Tell me about the very beginning of the band, because the band formed in Boulder, Colorado.
That's correct. We were, you know, arguably Boulder, Colorado's first punk band. It was called The Ravers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a band the singer Mark Campbell and I were in. The other members of The Nails, you know, got together when we were in New York and made personnel changes from The Ravers. But we started out, yes, in Boulder, Colorado. It is now cataloged on two compilations that are available for your listeners of Colorado punk music from the late 70s. One is called Local Anesthetic, and the other one is called Rocky Mountain Low. And I guess, you know, your listeners are interested because, you know, Jello Biafra was one of our roadies.
Yeah, I did hear about that. I mean, you know, they'd be interested for that, and also because of, you know, the song, 88 Lines About 44 Women shows up on so many compilations. It's one of those songs that never goes away.
Yeah, no, sometimes it's surprising to me, but it's lasted, and I guess it's, you know, stood the test of time. But the Ravers, you know, didn't record that song.
Sure.
But we, you know, did have a song called Cops Are Punks, you know, that with lyrics about, you know, cops wearing black leather and dressing like punk rock bands.
So at what point did the Ravers sort of morph into the Nails?
We moved the band to New York during the punk explosion in 1977. Actually, I'm from there, but I was a college student at University of Colorado at the time. And there was a band called Raver playing around, so we changed our name. So actually, the Ravers played under the name The Nails, you can say, for another 2 years before, you know, the personnel changes that brought my brother George into the band as bass player and Steve O'Rourke as guitar player, even though he left the band and came back later in 1982 to stay. So there are some recordings that are under the Nails name, but I still associate them with the Ravers.
Now, this Hotel for Women, this was your first release as the Nails, you know, this EP, right?
We did put out a single in 1980 called Young. It was a ska single because we had a ska period, and
sure,
a lot of that is cataloged on this new Hotel for Women extended CD. And it was called Young and Wild and Transcontinental Ska. It was a studio version of the live song that appears on Hotel for Women. So that was actually our first release under the Nails as constituted on Hotel for Women. We did release a record under the name The Nails, which was actually what I call The Ravers,
right,
in 1978. Which was called Backstreet Boys, you know, which I remember, you know, selling 45s out of my backpack to you know, the record stores in Greenwich Village. So those were the good old days.
Yeah. But this EP, obviously, that caught the attention of RCA and then recut the song. They wanted you to recut it because they didn't think it was commercial enough as it is? Or what were the reasons behind that? They wanted you to redo that song?
I believe that is the reason they wanted to make a more commercial, palatable version of it. That was a little bit more stylized than the original version, which was recorded on what would now be termed as extremely primitive equipment.
Right.
But, you know, oddly enough, you know, we did record the stylized version, and then it got a lot of airplay, but they never pushed it to become the hit perhaps it should have been. They made a video of another song, you know, Let It All Hang Out.
Right.
You know, and then we recorded the other album, Dangerous Dreams, which, you know, I'm very proud of, but it was never promoted and never sold. But at least, you know, in 2006, we were able to make a deal with Sony, which now own the masters, to put them out ourselves on CD. So now those two albums are also available on CD and mostly all download.
Right. So you've got Hotel for Women, which is new from City Beat, and you've also got Mood Swing and Dangerous Dreams, and these are all on your label.
Hotel for Women was kind of important for me because if your listeners know, that my brother George unexpectedly died last year in March.
Yes.
And we were exploring putting out Hotel for Women during that time. So I thought after that, I would accelerate the process and try to get it out in 2009. I was in touch with the original engineer who now lives in upstate New York, Dobbs Ferry. And we both had different versions of master tapes and copies of master tapes of the entire Hotel for Women session, which was recorded at a well-known studio at that time called Media Sound Studios, which then that went out of business and became a few nightclubs. In the 2000s, it was called La Bar Bat on 8th Avenue, or 57th Street off of 8th Avenue, and actually had the gold records on the wall of the nightclub saying the history of what it was. So we actually recorded a lot of songs there, I believe 5 or 6 songs. Steve O'Rourke came back into the band, then we went to another studio and recorded some songs with him. And we found all these, some of them were master tapes. Actually, the 88 line, the original 88 lines, was the actual master tape that somehow has survived my various moves from one residence to another. I still had it. We rented a tape recorder because even reel-to-reel tape recorders are hard to come by for recording studios these days.
Sure.
And remastered all these songs, and we worked with an artist I've worked with before to recreate the artwork and make a little poster on the inside, and made some liner notes. I did solicit liner notes from all the band members. But Steve had some liner notes, and I did. Mark currently lives in Austin, Texas, and plans to put out a solo record sometime in the near future. He has his own website. I believe it's called CarmaceuticalRecords.com, and his called Pantrick Machine, I think, and he's big on Facebook, although I'm not so into Facebook as he is.
Yeah, I've moved on to Twitter. They're going to come up with something else, probably by next week. That we'll all be moving on to.
Yeah, oddly enough, since I've been doing a lot of world traveling, I signed up with the State Department, and then I got this email, State Department now has a Facebook page.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So, if anyone has a crush on the State Department, now they can go to Facebook and maybe meet up for coffee.
Yeah, so we're glad about the Hotel for Women, and the title track, was a long... what I call a smoky reggae track with our then background singer, Connie Garcia, singing the lead vocal. To me, it's still sort of a hypnotizing track. And the ska song Cutting Edge used to get airplay on some radio stations. And then there's a whole, that was on the original EP. But
sure.
All these new songs, some of them are more commercial, like Fiction. And then, they show our rock and roll side. My little tribute to my brother was putting this live song, Transcontinental Ska, on at the end. And I always think, maybe it predates, Modest Yahoo and sort of a rockin' ska type of song.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to wrap this up, and why don't we play that track? Thanks so much for talking with us, David.
Okay, it's my pleasure.